Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone on his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even as a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is naught, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Who curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not to thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Our text this morning is verse 7. If you keep your Bibles open to that verse, you'll find that the 3 points of the sermon flow exactly out of it in that order. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. What does it mean to be a Christian father on what the world calls Father's Day? How is a Christian home that so desperately needs a strong, spiritual, faithful head of the home? We need to hear how the church needs strong, spiritual, faithful fathers. Perhaps you ask why? Well, maybe we could see why Christian homes need those kind of fathers. But why does the church need those strong, spiritual, faithful fathers? And the answer is both home and the church need them because God is pleased to use means. God is pleased to draw His elect in the lines of generations. And then God uses the means of godly parents to teach and to direct. Think a moment of that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read there, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," that is, in the father's and the mother's heart, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We need those spiritual fathers, godly fathers, in order to teach the next generation. God uses marriage and instruction in having children and the blessings that there are of these children. So perhaps on this Father's Day, let's ask that question. Are you married men who have children, are you a blessing to your wife? Are you a blessing to your children? And our text gives encouragement to the Christian man to be strong spiritual fathers because God makes a promise in here. The children will be blessed by fathers who walk in integrity. God is faithful to His promise. And where we as fathers have failed to instruct, have failed to be a good example, have failed our children, have failed to be present, teaching, disciplining, loving, holding, guiding. May our text then convict us of our own sin so that we confess it and turn. Turn from being faithless absentee fathers to being obedient, godly, strong, spiritual fathers. And we turn to that by the word preached. And we are able to turn to that by the Holy Spirit given to us so that we may diligently work with our children, so that we may be at home with our children in the evenings, so that our eye is on our children, so that they may be blessed in and by our role as strong, reliable, spiritual fathers. Why we need them from the Word of God, in order to understand that, what does it mean to be a Christian father? You see, the devil, Satan, always attacks his church, and what would be a better way than attacking the home? What better way is there to attack fathers, and thus the houses, through the fathers, tempting them to be lazy in their work? Figuring, well, someone else will teach my children these spiritual doctrines of God's Word. Or the Satan tempting us with wrong priorities in our life so that we are so busy with all kinds of things that we don't have the time and we're not present with our children to listen to them, to work with them, and even to play with them. Don't get me wrong. Many of us are very busy making a living. And many of us perhaps are busy doing church work or being on school boards or other committees. But all those other things may not get in the way of Christian fathers being a strong spiritual head of the home, caring for his wife and caring for his children. What does God's word say? If a man doesn't even know how to rule his own household, how can he be a spiritual father in the church and rule the household of God? So here is my theme this morning. God promises in his word that children are blessed in their fathers walking in integrity. God's promises in his word that children are blessed in their father walking in integrity. If you still have your Bible open, you're going to see the 3 points come right out of it. First of all, who is that man? In our text, he's called the just man. Second of all, what is his walk? He walketh in his integrity. And then thirdly, what is the blessing? His children are blessed after him. So let's look at this man of this psalm, of this verse. Who is the writer referring to? He says, the just man. So not just any man, but the just man. Another word or a synonym for just is righteous, the righteous man. And when we hear that term, then we know that that man is a believer in God in Christ Jesus. It means that he is a believing man in the midst of God's church, because no man is an island. God saves his church. And the only way for us to be saved is to live in a right relationship underneath the elders, being a part of his church, not running away from it. So what does it mean to be a just man? What does it mean to be a righteous man? Well, it means one who is conformable in conformity with the law of God. You see, God gives his law. How we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are now to live. How we are to behave. How we are to walk in our lives. And so to be a just or a righteous man means that we are innocent and not guilty. How is that possible? Not one person in themselves is conformable to God's law, is innocent or righteous. Rather, we read in Psalm 14, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's the way we come into this world, shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. And so that means, beloved, that by nature we are not righteous, but we are guilty, we are polluted, we are corrupted. But God is good. God has a way for us to be righteous. God gave his own Son, Jesus Christ. He, we read in the Bible, that is Christ, he was made sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Or another text, 1 John 2, verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins. And boys and girls, that word, that big long word, propitiation, means that God took the wrath, that Jesus took the wrath of God in our place. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye have been healed. Or again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. What a text that is. How is this man in our text in Proverbs 20, the just man, the righteous man? And the answer is Jesus Christ, the just one, has died for those who are unjust by nature. So the answer, we can be just, that is, we are righteous, by clinging by faith to Christ Jesus, who is God's righteousness to us. So the just man is one who is innocent, one who knows he is a sinner in himself. Remember that in Jesus' day, the Pharisees ran around with their own righteousness. It was an outward righteousness. It looked good in appearance, but it wasn't of the inner man. It wasn't a matter of the heart. It wasn't a matter of love for and in God. They only went through the motions. By God's word, we know that we are sinners. And if we stand before God, we stand before His law, our righteousness must be a righteousness that is given to us, imputed to us, freely given, made as if it were our own. So one who is a just man or a righteous man, that is possible only in our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this person that is described in our text is a man of the church, clinging to Jesus Christ as his Savior and as his Lord. But there's one more thing that we can say about this man of Proverbs 20, verse 7. Who is that man in the text? He's a father. That's very clear in the text, for we read that his children are blessed after him. So the man of the text is a father. He has children. A believing father in the church. My question, are you the man of this text, fathers here? Are you the man of our text? And don't answer, I hope so. Are you saying it by faith, not doubting? Do you identify with this man in our text? Do you think this way? Do you live this way? That means that every day you are looking away from yourself to Christ Jesus, trusting in Him alone. You identify with your own sinful nature. And you know that you need Jesus. You need Jesus as your Savior and your Lord every day. Necessary to be a Christian father, you need, you cling, you live in the power of Jesus Christ. You live with Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. And you live that way by the Spirit of Christ given to you, the just man. And that brings us to the next words in our text. The just man walketh in his integrity. There is a scriptural idea here of a walk. It describes one's life, one's conduct. It's a metaphor for one's entire life. Here in this world, we are pilgrims and strangers in the world, so that it is not their customs and it is not their way that they are walking on that is our way. We're walking because we're traveling to that city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. So what is the character of our walk in this world? Well, in the book of Proverbs, our walk is constantly contrasted. That is, the walk of the upright is contrasted to the walk of the foolish. Proverbs 28, verse 18, "Whosoever walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." So that means that one's walk is the manner of his life, the way that he lives. The just man in our text has a calling. He has a vocation. A calling, a vocation to live with his wife and to love his wife, to live with his children and to love and to care for those children. He is called to a life in the church. And what does that life look like? That whether at work or whether we're engaged in recreation, whether we're in public or whether we are in a private place where no one is looking, we are living in the hope of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We are His, and He is preparing us here for heaven. Notice with me in our text, it is a walk then, progressive walk in integrity. That word integrity stands for godliness, piety. That is living according to the Word of God. And I want you to notice that it is given here as a statement. The just man walketh in his integrity. Here, the wise author, the preacher of Proverbs, is not saying it would be nice if we walked in integrity. He doesn't say we ought to walk in integrity. He doesn't say one may walk in integrity or even that it's their calling. But he makes simply a statement. The just man walketh in his integrity. It's kind of like the statement that one would say, an apple tree bears fruit and it is apples, not oranges, not grapes. So why is that kind of a statement made here? The one who clings to Jesus Christ will walk in integrity. If he is a righteous man, this will be the inevitable fruit. He hates sin, he flees from sin, and he desires, he prays, and by God's grace walks in a godly walk. Now in the scripture there are many commands to walk that way. There are those commands there because we need to be encouraged. We need those commands so that we ought to do these things in our life, just as children ought to obey their parents and believers ought to behave as children of God. The just man walketh in his integrity, in uprightness, in obedience, in godliness. What does that mean? It does not mean that he never falls into sin. Godly people do at times walk in sin, even terrible sin. Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was saved by the flood, later on gives way to drunkenness and immodesty. Abraham, the friend of God, left the land that God placed him in and lied about his life and his wife. David, who had a heart for God, was an adulterer and a murderer. And quite a while walked in those sins, not confessing it, impenitent. Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," denied Jesus 3 times, wanting nothing to do with him. And so every one of us, whether it be fathers, mothers, or children, to one degree or another, we are sinners. In our mind, in our will, in our actions, maybe even for a long time. The man of Proverbs 20 is the man whom God leads out of that sin by his word and by his spirit. He is the man that God brings down to his knees in sorrow and repentance, led by the Holy Spirit to flee and to fight sin in his life. Yes, he walks in integrity. That is a continual walk. That is the inevitable fruit of being a just man, righteous. He must walk in integrity. So the second question I give to you this morning: can you say, "I am right now living in a conscious relationship with Jesus Christ"? What does that walk of integrity look like in my life? For we are, if we are true Christians, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are then those who are walking on that narrow path in godliness and in purity and in obedience. We can't do that in ourselves. I need Christ Jesus living in me. I need his word dwelling in my heart. I need that word of God like a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. God, in his grace, has given me a wife, has given me children. God has given me grandchildren. That I am a righteous man means this is going to govern the way I deal with my wife and my children and my grandchildren. Not abusing them, not using them, not provoking them to anger, but I give myself for them and to them. At the end of each day, I have to realize my own shortcomings, and I need to confess my sins against them so that they may be forgiven. And I need to do that over and over and over again. Christian faith and life go together. We live out of Christ, empowered by Christ Jesus. The walk of integrity is living in a relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and it shows itself in my and your life. It shows itself in humility, in sorrow for sin, striving to walk according to the Word of God, being upright, being a complete person in Christ Jesus, spiritually mature, full. Every part of our life, not just Sundays, not just the workplace, but my recreations, my eating, every area of life, dedicated to the living God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. it shows itself. It will show itself in how we conduct ourselves in public or in private in our homes. Let me pause there just a second. Because it is public. It is possible for a man like a Pharisee to look good when out in public. Man, he might be even an elder in the church. But behind the closed doors of his home, abusive to his wife, or abusive to his children, or abusive to his grandchildren, the just man who walks in his integrity is then both in public life but also in private life, where no one sees him, conformable to the law of God. He lives loving God. He lives loving his wife and his children and his grandchildren. Obeying God's commandments, striving to live according to God's word. So what does this walk in integrity look like? Well, let's look at the psalm. Look at verse 1. It means, first of all, that he's not a drunkard. Nowhere does the Bible condemn using any wine or alcohol. But the Bible has plenty to say about being drunken, using too much so that you're not under self-control. We need to hear that in our homes. Our children need to hear that. Drunkenness is a sin. It's contrary to a just man walking in integrity. Well, let's look at verse 3. What does this walk of integrity look like? Well, it means that we are not a contentious person. That means easily provoked to anger. He doesn't try to strive against his fellow brethren. He doesn't come home from work and then find fault with his children or find fault with his wife. He doesn't get bent out of shape over spilled milk or misplaced objects on the floor. He's in control of himself. What is this walk in integrity? It's verse 4. He's diligent in his labor. Every day he works hard so that he may provide for his family and he also may provide resources for the kingdom causes. What does this walk of integrity mean? Verse 10. He does not cheat in his business. Verse 13, it means he's not lazy or lethargic. It means, verse 17 and verse 23, that he keeps his word or his promises. It means, verse 19, that he's not a talebearer or a troublemaker. He is not a man who is against everyone else, but rather he is a humble man, knowing he is an instrument in God's hand to bring a blessing to others, beginning in his own household, his wife, and his lovely children. He walks in integrity. He's not an absentee father. And I don't mean now those who very wrongly, sinfully abandon their families. There are those too. But I'm thinking here of the word absentee father, those who are so busy with so many things that they're hardly at all at home and they're not busy in the life of their family and children. No, he walks in integrity. God has given him that calling and he recognizes it. Guiding, directing, teaching his wife and his family the things of God's word. The just man walks in his integrity. That brings me to my third point in the text. His children are blessed after him. There is a blessing. There's a blessing not only for the man himself that walks this way. We sang of that this morning, didn't we? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way. But there is in our text that phrase, his children are blessed after him. And what our text is talking here is about God's covenant. God's covenant established with believing fathers in the line of their generations. That means when the father walks in his integrity, he leaves a legacy behind him. The children are blessed after him because they've heard his words, they've felt his care, they've seen his example. And as John says about his spiritual children, the Apostle John, no greater joy have I than when I see my children walking in the truth. What a blessing when our children, through the means of God using Christian parents, children who know and love and serve him. What a blessing. Now let me, second of all, say in this application, negatively. Blessed is the man, the just man, who walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Our text is not a promise that every child, head for head, is going to be blessed. Because in our covenant homes, as well as in the church, there is both the line of election and reprobation. And what grief, what terrible grief, when a son or a daughter is rebellious and forsake the faith and walk in sin. In this very same chapter, Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Yes, there are children that are raised in our covenant homes, are raised under the covenant sphere. That means Christian schools and church and Christian home. An inheritance hastily gotten, but the end thereof shall not be blessed, because while they were under the sphere, they did not have a new heart. They did not love the Lord and are not willing to serve him. Cling, parents, grandparents, you who have those kind of children in your homes or in your family, cling to Jesus Christ. He gives grace to fathers and to mothers for their burdens. Take those rebellious children to the throne of grace and leave them there in God's hand. That's the negative. Not every child that is in our homes is going to be blessed by our instruction or care or example. But positively, fathers walking in integrity, God works through a believing, faithful fathers for the good of his covenant children. Those two phrases in our text are not contradictory. There's not two different separate ideas given there. What we have is Hebrew parallelism. And what sometimes the second line is what is adding to the first line, while sometimes in Hebrew parallelism it's a complete contradiction or an antithesis. Here it is, the fruit that follows. We don't stand and we say, well, I can't do anything about my children because it's all in God's sovereign will. Rather, God uses means. God doesn't call us to save our children, for not one of us can do that. But all we can do is give instruction, give a godly example, care and pray for them, instruct them and discipline them. Fathers who seek God's kingdom and righteousness walk in integrity to bring blessings upon their home. That means, beloved, that we have to strive every day because we all have that sinful flesh. We have to strive to be faithful in our calling, and may this text then be an encouragement to us in it. Also, may it prick our consciences if we have been slothful or unfaithful. Then may we repent. And then may we, by grace, strive to walk in integrity so that our children may be blessed after us. On this Father's Day, as we look at God's word about believing faithful fathers, let's give thanks to God. We leave behind a legacy. May we see in the Father's love for His children a greater truth. If we can love our children, how much more our perfect Father in heaven loves and cares and holds us, His spiritual children, in His hands. May we see in our marriages where husbands love their wives and give themselves for their wives, and wives then love their husbands and submit. Let us see the truth of the marriage of Christ and His church. How are children blessed after this just man walks in integrity? That child is blessed by God's grace to have a love for Him. And God blesses those children so that they have a love for His word, so that they use it as a lamp for their feet. And God uses these godly homes so that our children have a love for Christ's church. And fourthly, God blesses our children so that our children will have love for serving and living for their God in Christ Jesus. May God bless our homes and our churches with spiritual, faithful, godly, righteous fathers. Amen. Father in heaven, how humbling it is to come before Thy word, because we realize our shortcomings. We realize our sinfulness. But also how encouraging. Our righteousness is not in our works, but our righteousness is an imparted righteousness imputed to us by Christ's cross. And the promise here for those who by God's grace walk in integrity, their children are blessed after them. Receive our thanks then, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.